speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, "Try your own selves whether you are in the faith. Test your own selves." This time of year is quite often a time of personal reflection. You think about the Thanksgiving holidays when we eat a big meal together, we enjoy the fellowship of one another, but we think about the things we've been thankful for over the past year. Then it comes time of this holiday season and we tend to think about giving and our family, and we tend to reflect personally on who we are and where we're going in life. Recently, we have lost several precious loved ones from our congregation. It seems since the middle of this summer that we have lost a number of fine, faithful Christians. And as you go to the funeral home to bid your farewell and to support the family, it's also a time of personal reflection. A person begins to ask the question, why do I do what I do? Am I really dedicated or not? Am I having a positive impact upon the world? The book of Romans, chapter 14, I believe it's verse 7, Paul said, "None of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself." We all have some impact and we all have some influence. As David was looking to the passing of the baton to his son Solomon, who would be anointed as king and serve as the leader of God's people, there was going to be a question about what kind of man Solomon would be. Would he be dedicated? Would he be of loyal heart? Or would he be like so many of the other kings who served at his own desire and his own pleasure? David encouraged Solomon in the passage that Brother Doug read to us to be a faithful, to be a loyal servant of God. And to please God, one must have, if you're reading the New King James, a loyal heart and a willing mind. The original King James says a perfect heart and a willing mind. The same is true for us. I would like, in this lesson this morning, for each of us to do a little bit of just self-inspection. To ask ourselves, am I really serving God because I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe in the God of heaven and I want to do what is right? Or am I somehow just going through the motions? If you will, this morning, what I'd like for us to do is to look at two very simple points. I'd like for us to look, first of all, at some examples of some failures in the Bible. And it's valuable to see failures as well as it is to see successes. And then number two, I would like to encourage some fidelity and some faithfulness to God and show you some areas where we can do that. Number one, examples can teach us whether they are good or bad. We often point to the good men of the Bible. We'll go and point to a man like Noah and say, Noah walked with God and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We will go to a man like Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness and he was called the friend of God. We will go to look at some great men who turned their lives around like the Apostle Paul. Great leaders like Barnabas who encouraged people. There are also some examples in the Bible that are bad. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 and 11, we'll address them. There were many who failed God, not by what they did, but by their attitude of heart. And on the other hand, there were others who failed God. Even though they operated with a sincere heart, they did not obey God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Now, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Paul said, you look at the Old Testament. You look at the Jewish people and he said, look at the things they lusted for. They were always discontented. Lord, we want water. Okay, here's water. Lord, we want food. Okay, here's manna. Lord, we're tired of this manna. We want flesh. Okay, here's quail to come out your nostrils. constantly wanting more and more, never satisfied. Dropping down to verse 11, now these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. It's for us that these things were written. Let me just carry you through some Old Testament examples. We want to go, first of all, to study for just a minute or two about King Amaziah. He was not one of those big-name kings. He wasn't a Saul, a David, or a Solomon. Neither was he a Hezekiah or a Josiah. But I want us to read what the Bible tells about him. The Bible tells us in chapter 25, verses 2 through 4, that he served God and did what was right, but not with a loyal heart. We will see in this man that as long as what God told him to do agreed with his will, he did that. Did what God told him to do. However, when he wanted to do something different, he did what he wanted to do. Let me carry you to 2 Chronicles 25, verses 2 through 4. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, or in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. Now, it happened as soon as the kingdom was established for him that he executed the servants who had murdered his father, the king. However, he did not execute the children, but they did as it was written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, fathers shall not be put to death for the children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall die for his own sin. Now here is Amaziah. He did what God said do, but he didn't do it with a loyal heart. He didn't do it for the right reason. He came along and he says, okay, I'll put to death the men that are responsible, the men that deserve capital punishment. I won't kill their children. The law says don't do that, and I won't do that. But you drop down just a few verses, dropping down to verse 14. Amaziah, after he established himself as king, decided he was going to go into war with the Edomites. And it says, and it was so after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought the gods of the people to Seir to set them up to be his god, and he bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Amaziah. And he sent a prophet who said to him, why have you sought the gods of the people which could not rescue their own people from their hand? So it was while he talked with the king that the king said to him, have we made you the king's counselor? Cease. Why should you be killed? Then the prophet ceased and said, I know that God is determined to destroy you because you have done this and not heeded my advice. Here's Amaziah. And he goes to the Edomites and he brings back their gods and he puts their gods in his house and he worships them. And God is sending a prophet. Why are you doing this, Amaziah? Amaziah said, let me tell you something. I don't need your advice. You leave. You see, people with loyal hearts serve when it's convenient, when it's easy. And the people with a loyal heart will serve when it is difficult and when it goes against their own wishes and their own desires. Here is Amaziah, and he doesn't have a loyal heart. Let me carry a little bit further. Let's go to Psalm 78. This whole chapter is about the history of the children of Israel. And as you come to verses 6 through 8, there's a suggestion that a new generation should come along that should look to God with a faithful spirit. They should say, now, our fathers didn't do things right, but we're going to have a right attitude. We're going to have a right heart. Sadly, you drop down to verses 36 and 37, and you see the disloyalty of their hearts. Beginning with verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare to their children, that they may set their hope on God or in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and may not be rebellious like their fathers, and stubborn in a rebellious generation, a generation that does not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. One of the greatest things that any parent can instill within their children is a love and a respect for God, a loyalty of heart, saying, regardless of what circumstances come, God always has to be first in your life. And that was the hope here in verses 6 through 8. Dropping down to verse 36, nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth and lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful to his covenant. These people, they would lie to God. Oh, nobody would ever do that today. Pick up your song book and you open to, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do you? Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So go a little bit further. Isaiah described a generation that was only going through the motions. They were worshiping God. They were doing the things that people who worship God should do. However, it was only an outward show. Something that other people could see. I want you to listen to verses 11 and following. God asked the question, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord. I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and the sacrifice, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. That last phrase, I cannot endure. God says, I can't tolerate you living sinful lives and then coming to the sacred meeting and acting as if nothing is wrong. There are people that all through the week can live their lives in service to the devil. They can lie, they can cheat, they can pilfer, they can do all sorts of ungodly things, and then come on Sunday morning with a nice suit on, with a tie on, with a smile on their face, sing the wonderful songs, partake of the Lord's Supper, give of their money, and go home and think, oh, everything is just fine. God said, I can't tolerate that. In fact, I don't want you trampling my courts. Come to chapter 29 and verse 13. The Lord said, inasmuch as these people have drawn near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Everything about them is all about what men think. Some look at their service to God as only an obligation to be fulfilled and resent the time and the effort that they are giving. You come here and you worship and, oh, there's so many other things I should be doing, I could be doing, I need to be doing. In the book of Amos, chapter 8 and verse 5, Amos says, this is what the people are saying. When will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain? And the Sabbath that we may trade wheat? Making an ephah small and a shekel large, falsifying scales by deceit? When service is going to be over? Let me ask you a pointed and a direct question. Have you ever got frustrated because the service went a little bit too long? Because the preacher preached a little longer than you thought he should? Have you ever seen someone come to the front of the auditorium to be baptized or to confess faults? And think in your mind, oh no, that's going to take 10 more minutes. We're going to be late. If you have, shame on you. If you ever see a precious soul obey the gospel and you're more worried about the time so you can do what you want to do than you are about their soul, then you've got a heart condition. A spiritual heart condition. In the book of Malachi, chapter 1 and verse 13. And God's looking at people offering their sacrifices. And here's what He said. You also say, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, the sick, thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? Am I going to take it when you don't want to give it? When you really don't want to do it? Folks, when you look at these examples of failures and the lives of people, you say, I can see that. I can see that. Now let me turn the coin over for just a second. Let's look at it on the other side. Let's look at some encouragement to faithfulness and fidelity. One of the first things I want to establish is that God's Word says, watch your heart. Take care of your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Your heart's so important, spiritually speaking. Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if any wicked way is in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, look at me. Is my heart right? I talked about this self-inspection. Why do I do what I do? Am I loyal to God? Or is this just some superficial act that I'm putting on? David said, see if there is in me any way that is wrong and help me find it. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. God is looking this very morning at you. He's looking at me. And He's not only looking at the way we're sitting in our pews or standing before an altar, but God's looking at what's in our heart. Is there any dedication there? Is there any loyalty there? It's so important. There's several areas where I want to encourage you to watch and be careful that our loyalty comes through. The first one is in giving. And I want to start with emphasizing the fact of what the Bible says. And I want to point out to you, Ananias and Sapphira were not wrong by what they gave. They were wrong because how they gave it. And why they gave it. It wasn't what they gave. God would have accepted it. But how did they give it? They gave it lying. What were they trying to do? Get the approval of men. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Just a few moments ago, these trays were passed. And in them, we dropped in a certain portion. Why did you give? Did you believe this was some obligation? Okay, the Bible says I got to give. I really don't want to do this. I got a lot of things I need to pay for, other things I need to buy. But I'll give it anyway. Grudgingly. Necessity. God wants you to put that in there and want to give it, love to give it. God looks at your heart. And if you do it because you want to, the amount is never going to be an issue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he talked about the Macedonians. He said they gave according to their power, and yea, even beyond their power, they gave of their own accord. Paul went on to say, first they gave themselves to us and to the Lord through the will of God. They gave because they wanted to give. In Matthew 6 and verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds to be seen by men. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father which is in heaven. When you give, why do you give? Think about it. I give because I want to give, because I want to please God, because I want to help the church grow. Number two, our heart has to be right in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Just a few moments ago, the bread and the fruit of the vine was passed around. And you have to look at some of the Scriptures to see the significance of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 21, here's what Paul says. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you since you're come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I in part believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. I want you to stop before we go on to verse 20. What he's saying is there's some of you want to be recognized. There's some of you want some glory. There's some of you want people to look at you and say, oh, I wish I had what he had. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. He said, when you come together, you're not coming together because you want to share a communion meal to God and remember His Son, but you're coming together because you want people to see you. And he said, when you do that, you don't have your heart in the right place. You drop down, and Paul goes on to explain beginning with verse 23, but I want to jump down to verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What did you do just a few moments ago when the bread was passed and the fruit of the vine? Did you think about the body of Christ when that bread was taken? About what he endured? Did you think about the blood that was shed when you took of that fruit of the vine? How that so many places on the body of Jesus were bleeding from his scourging to the crown of thorns placed upon his head, from the hands and the feet that were nailed to that cross, even to the spear that was thrust into his side? Or did you think about what you wanted to have for lunch? Let me encourage you, every time you have those elements passed in front of you, you think about how important that is. Those who must become Christians for the right reason. The senior saints class now on the second and fourth Mondays, we're studying the book of Galatians. Quite often Paul refers to the false brethren. He said they came in by stealth, or the King James says privately. In Alabama, we'd say they snuck in. And the reason why they came in was not for the purpose of being faithful brethren, but Paul says to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ. Jude verse 4 speaks of these type people. Peter talks to Simon in Acts 8 and he says, your heart's not right. Notice Jude verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These people are motivated by their own fleshly desires. Let me ask you a question. When you became a Christian, why did you do that? Did you do it because your mama and daddy were putting pressure on you to say, hey, it's time, you need to be baptized? Did you do it because of your spouse who was saying, now honey, you know that preacher's not going to marry us unless we're both Christians? Did you do it because you were trying to please somebody else? Or did you do it because you believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you knew that you had sins in your life that needed to be forgiven, and you wanted to do it to obey God? In Acts 8, verse 18 through 22, due to time, I'm not going to read all this. I want to drop down to verse 21. Peter said, you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Simon, you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have got a wrong attitude toward it. When you become a Christian, and if you're here this morning, you want to become one, There's no greater joy that we can have. But do it because you believe you want to obey God. What can I conclude from all this? If I take all of this together, if one wants God to accept him, he's going to have to be of a loyal heart and of a willing mind. That's exactly what David said to Solomon. You want God to accept you, you come to him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. What's the condition of your heart? It's very possible that a sermon can touch people because of God's Word in it. When Peter preached his sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" If you're not a Christian, we'll assist you in becoming a child of God. If you are a child of God and you know your heart has not been right, and you want to make things right with God,